This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Okay, good evening, Place to Be Nation. This is Will, and this is the reaction show for the New Japan Invasion show that you can watch on New Japan World. And tonight I'm joined by my buddy Pete from the Titans, and we have a new guest tonight, my buddy Paul. And you can catch Paul's writings on his blog, thecrossarmbreaker.com, www.crossarmbreaker.com. Paul, welcome to the show, bud.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so just a little background. I've known Paul's brother for over a decade on the online trading community. And his brother's one of the reasons I'm such an obsessive wrestling fan to this day. Helped me build my collection of tapes and DVDs. And it's been a nonstop spiral ever since into this wrestling madness. But tonight, guys, we're talking New Japan, and this was a long show, man. This is another four-hour extravaganza, but the wrestling, I felt, was good enough to where it really didn't feel like 4 hours. It really did feel like it kind of just zoomed on by. And so we're going to start off with Pete. Pete, the first match was Liger, Nakanishi, Taguchi, Tanaka and Tiger Mask versus the Time Splitters, Captain New Japan, Komatsu, and Nagata. Give us some background on what's going on in this match. Pete?
I'm sorry, I might cut off. I just heard the last end of your question.
All right, tell us what's going on in the first match.
Actually, pretty much nothing. This is a New Japan trope where they throw a bunch of, all of them are baby faces together, and they have them on, like, on every show they do. It has no storyline behind it. You know, a lot of times you can have the same crew, but it'd be flipped around.
So all 10 guys are just baby faces that need to be put on the show.
Baby.
What? Pete, are you there? Paul, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Paul, tell me. Maybe while Pete gets his mic checked, can you tell us what's going on in this?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Pete pretty much had it. Just, you know, all 10 baby faces, just sort of a random match thrown together, just open the show. It's, you get these on all the big shows. No real angle progression, not a whole lot going on. Just, you know, 10 guys getting their stuff in to kind of warm up the crowd. As far as those matches go, I thought it was decent. You know, Everyone got to run through their stuff. The Young Lions looked good. Shelly and Kushida, I thought, looked pretty good. But yeah, I mean, not a whole lot to sink your teeth into. Just, you know, 10 guys running through their spots.
Yeah. I thought, you know, it was perfectly fine. You know, Like nobody really embarrassed themselves. Although I have to say this, and maybe you guys can chime in on this. I think Captain New Japan sort of sucks. By far my least favorite guy in this 10-man.
He's straight.
Too great. What were you saying, Pete?
He's straight gimmick, Captain New Japan. I mean, he's a comedy figure. Nakanishi looked. I thought he looked terrible.
Yeah.
Most of the time, these are for the Young Lions work hard, and then a lot of the other guys just kind of phone it in. Sometimes the matches are better than this one. I really didn't like this one. It just didn't have any rhyme or reason. Didn't have enough time. Sometimes they have too many wrestlers in these things, so it's just everyone just gets a quick little hello and then a cup of coffee and then they're out, and that's kind of what this match was.
Yeah. Well, the last time I saw Taguchi, he was in a title match with Kenny Omega, right, on the 1-4 show.
Yep.
And the last time I saw Nagata, he was in the main event of the last big special. And so I'm just like thinking, why are these two guys who are in title pictures just opening the show? Like, is that also something New Japan does on a regular basis?
Ibushi on the next show, Will, he's on the second card. He's done the second match on the show. So it's just something they do real easily. Move, guy, everything's real fluid. People will be in the main event. They have a couple like fixtures, but for a lot of the part, they can just easily move people up and down the card.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we've spent enough time talking about that. Audio problems and all. So let's move on to the next one. The next one is two Bullet Club members, Tama Tongo and Yujiro Takahashi, and Scott Hall's son, Cody Hall, versus Tenzan Kojima and Tomoaki Hanma. And Paul, is it just me, or does Cody Hall look like Dan Spivey's kid?
Yeah, now that you say it, he kind of does. I mean, that definitely looks more like him than his father.
Yeah, I'm thinking, weren't both of them 1985-ish WCW, you know? I think maybe Danny Spivey got a little bit too close to Hall's wife, man. I couldn't get it out of my head. Anyway, this felt like a nothing match to me, man. I just felt it was so far below Hanma's position. Like, this guy's such a rock star. This just didn't feel like a spot I wanted to see him in. What'd you think, Paul?
Yeah, well, I thought this was one of the worst matches on the show. And the use of Hanma now is pretty weird, I think. Like, they're pushing him, but they're not really pushing him, you know? Like, he got the win here, and he's been picking up some wins, but, like, you know, they seem pretty guarded about it. Like, they don't want to go all in. And, you know, I mean, the guy's over. He's literally one of the best baby faces in wrestling now, I think. You know, you don't need to, I'm not saying you need to go nuts with him, but, you know, a little more than this. He's just, like, I agree with you completely. Just completely wasted with these other guys. You know, another nothing match. And, you know, he picks up the win, but, you know, what does that really do for him in the second match?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It feels like, it just feels criminal to leave him off a big match on a show of this magnitude. Pete, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, my main complaint about the match was that we didn't get a Hanma face in peril section, which really gets the crowd going and gets the crowd behind him. Because, I mean, like you guys touched on, he's really one of the best, like, underneath baby facers, around right now, where he can just get the crowd going just by his selling. So it was kind of weird to see him actually, you know, getting the hot tag and getting the victory, which was cool for a change. But, man, I would have liked to seen him definitely get the crowd behind him and made the match a little bit more something. I thought the Bullet Club working on top was just terrible. When Cody Hall might have had the most impressive offense, that's really telling. Tonga is an athlete, but he's somebody who really needs to start stepping up and really learning how to work on top, because as an athlete, he's pretty damn good. He's just not, sometimes it translates into his matches, but a lot of times he's just real miss for me. And as a, in general, this match was just blah, just there.
Yeah. To me, I get your point about Hanma working, from underneath, but I don't think any of the opponents were worthy of kind of like for him to sell for, you know, I mean,
not at all.
You know, I don't think that those are the three guys. To me, really, honestly, this should have been a squash. It should have been, you know, Tenkoji doing a greatest hits from the past, you know, for the older crowd, and then Hanma cleaning it up. I mean, and he did clean it up, but still, there shouldn't have even been a hot tag, so to speak. It should have just been those guys kind of steamrolling those guys. But, you know, I don't know, man. It just so far, two matches in, I'm not feeling this. Like, I'm not really pumped up about this show. You know, and you know, I don't know. I maybe it's just because I had a taste of nostalgia. I know, like, when we reviewed the January 4th show, you know, seeing old guys like Fujiwara in the Battle Royal, you know, it just kind of like leaves a smile on your face, even if the match sucked. Whereas here, I'm not getting any happy feelings watching these guys so far. But that's about to change. And, Pete,
I can see your point on that, Will. But a lot of times on the New Japan shows, this is how they build it. I mean, it's
no, I get it. Yeah. Well, I was going to go to you next anyway. So, like I said, this was about to change. We're now going to go into the Young Bucks versus Roppongi Vice.
Yep.
Okay, Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero. Right? Did I say that right? Roppongi.
Yep, it's the district in Japan where they party their asses off.
Oh, okay. So that's where that comes from. So, Pete, why don't you, is there any background to this, or is it just two teams matching up?
Yeah, there's two teams matching up, but Roppongi Vice, this is their first big match in New Japan. They've worked a couple of the house shows, and they actually first got their run, they stunt run, but they ran, they get the gimmick starting, they ran two, they worked two matches in Ring of Honor, in Chicago and Milwaukee.
Okay. And so, Paul, what did you think about this match?
I liked it quite a bit. I'm not a huge Young Bucks fan. I don't hate them or anything. But I thought this was better than their usual match. It was a little more, not that their matches aren't Southern tags, but it's a little more Southern tag in nature. Like I like the two face and peril segments. I liked all the pulling Rocky off the apron when they tried to make the tags. There were a lot of good cutoff spots. I'm not a huge Trent Barretta fan in general, but I thought he looked really good, his face in peril, and him and Rocky had good chemistry as a team. And yeah, I thought this was a really, really solid, junior tag match, and those are usually hit or miss for me.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you too, man. I'm not really a Young Bucks guy. I feel like at some point after you've seen X amount of Young Bucks matches, you've seen all of their stuff.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest here, man. I mean, they nailed out some stuff I'd never seen before. And now I don't watch the Young Bucks as much as some people do. But it really did feel like they keep trying to invent new ways to keep things fresh, you know? So,
exactly. I mean, I really like the walkout spot. Yeah, there's a lot of neat little wrinkles in this that they don't always pull out. But, yeah, it really made this match into something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, the walkout spot was really neat, where it set up the heat segment for the match and stuff. I thought that was really well executed and different.
Yeah, no, I like that because Pete, as you're about to get into, this match had kind of a Southern tag feel. It was like a Southern tag feel with modern moves. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Totally agree.
Okay, so tell us your thoughts on this match.
I enjoyed it a lot. I liked how they set up the heat, and I liked all the basic structure. Some of the Young Bucks stuff kind of got annoying to me, like where Matt Jackson's going, suck it, suck it, suck it, suck it, suck it, and running into the corner. It looked kind of just stupid, and I didn't like some of their spots are just getting so tiresome, like their backflip, and then he walks over and runs his fingers down his back. It's just that becomes like a normal thing, but the crowd still pops. So okay.
So that's something that they've done before, because I popped for it, man. I marked out for it. I
like
it.
They do it like they do it all the time. Yeah, it's like almost it's a trope now. It's like a token. It's like Ric Flair's face bump almost, where they do it like almost in every match, all the big matches.
I'll agree with you on those crotch chops, man. God, I was getting tired of them.
Yeah, it just gets old. I thought Beretta, though, really carried it as the face in peril. I thought he was fantastic in that. Yeah. And he's done it really, which is a grand total of four.
yeah, really.
He's done it well. And I really did like some of the real fun near tag cutoffs. I thought that was really well done. And I thought Romero, when he took the hot tag, I thought he was really good and with some high-end offense and really kicked it up a gear. And then he even got a chance to do a little face in peril. So we got a double heat segment, and then we built to this really hot finish. And overall, that was good stuff. I give it like 3.5 stars. Some of those little things just annoyed me. It's like, come on, all right. I wouldn't mind like the backflip and the scratch if they did it maybe one out of every 10 move, out of 10 matches, or one out of every 5. But getting it force fed every time, it's just the cuteness is worn off for me.
Yeah, it was the first time I had ever seen it, so thumbs up. Even if they did it,
those cute spots like that, you can only pull them out so many times, and it just it's common. Yeah. It loses its uniqueness.
Maybe next time, instead of doing the back rake, they need to do the eye poke. You know, mix it up a little.
Like change it up, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great idea, Will.
So, okay. Well, I think so far we're all in agreement, right? So far, this is the best match up to this point. You know, I wouldn't have even minded if this was the opener to kind of like really get the crowd into it. You know, have a real hot start. Okay, next match is Kenny Omega versus Mascara Dorada for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. Now, Pete, Kenny Omega's a guy that kind of gets a mixed reception in our neck of the woods. You know, a lot of people do not like him, but I know, like, he also has a big following online. So, for me, for my dollar, this was the best Kenny Omega singles match I've seen so far against Dorada. Why don't you talk about this match for a little bit?
Yeah, I was blown away because Omega has been a total dud so far in New Japan as the cleaner. He's just had shitty matches, shitty single matches on the show. Sure.
Okay. What do you mean the cleaner? What's this gimmick? Explain the cleaner gimmick.
That's his gimmick. Okay. It's actually kind of hard to explain. It's kind of like he's the guy who's coming in to clean up the IWGP Junior Division, where he's taking out all the opponents. He's kind of like a hitman in a way. And it looks like he's doing a Cobra with Stallone, and instead of trying and playing it serious, he's doing too much comedy. And being paired with Taguchi off the bat, it was almost like a death knell, because he's really one of the least over guys as a singles competitor out there. Taguchi's stick is better served in these 10-man tags or 6-man tags, where his spots can actually get over. In a singles match, they just look ludicrous. I enjoy this match. I thought it was the best Omega match I've seen him have here in New Japan. I thought both guys really needed to have a good match here, because this is Dorada's first big singles match in New Japan, not including the tour they did with CMLL did with them earlier in the year, which led to him coming to New Japan. And I thought having all the juniors out there made the match seem more important. Was so fast, so many hot moves. It was hard to list. The big spot was Omega catching Dorada on a dive and power bombing him on the apron. And he does some really good back work, including a drop kick to the back. And really, this gave us the story, which was Dorada in the hot moves and Omega just destroying his back. Dorada with the nice spinning DDT starts to come back, and that Rana from inside out was sick by Dorada, and I really like this a lot. Dorada provided the flash while Omega provided the substance that it could only, which made it really good. I think it could have been cut by a minute or two, and there was this one spot where they messed up, but Dorada covered it real well, and I wouldn't even know it was a blown spot. Omega went right back to it. And I really would like to see more of these. I thought it was like a 4-star match.
Wow, that big. Oh, okay.
Paul,
did you really think this was a 4-star match?
Yeah, I didn't like it quite that much. I do agree that it's by far Omega's best showing in New Japan, and probably one of the better matches from what I've seen overall. But yeah, I wouldn't go quite that high. Omega's offense, just for me, it doesn't do a whole lot. I did like the back work. I liked it a little more focus than usual, but I still don't think he's got, you know, really great offense to carry that long of a match as a heel. But he took some wicked bumps. Like the bump on the tope, he just got smashed into the guardrail. Yeah. That looked really good.
The bump I really liked was where Dorada leaped over the top rope, yeah, and Omega was on the apron, and he lands in a Rana, and then he flips Omega to the floor.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think he invented. I mean, he's the first guy I saw do, and it just, I mean, how he hits that so cleanly every time. It's an awesome move.
Yeah, so I was really high on that. Like, to me, I mean, yeah, there was a little bit of back work, but there wasn't a whole hell of a lot of back selling. You know, it wasn't like Dorada was like really showing the pain in the back, or, you know, to me it was a spot fest, but a super enjoyable spot fest. Really didn't have it that high as a 4-star, but it kind of kept the action going. It kept the fun level up on the show. I like the Young Bucks match better than this match, but that's not knocking this match. It just means that I enjoyed the tag more for what it was.
Yeah, I think I've been in the minority where I think I was seeing other people's reviews of this. I rated it higher than most, and I think it was just good. I was so excited to see Omega show psychology by working the back.
Just the glimpse of it, right?
Yeah, and I'm not saying I overrated it, because I loved it, and I was so I'm I've been burying Omega in New Japan since he's been there because he's been.
I'm really shocked you had this higher than Cena versus Rusev, but that's cool. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go to this next match, and this is Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson versus Matt Taven and Michael Bennett for the IWGP Tag Team title. And, Paul, I know when we did reviews of Gallows and Anderson before here on reaction shows in the past, I guess I got to see their one good match that they had because I was like, wow, man, I can't believe they let Gallows go in WWE. And why don't they just have these guys come and they would do a lot better than the Ascension. And then we get this match.
Yeah, this was pretty bad. This is definitely, I think, the worst match of the show. It wasn't even like I've seen some people get on it and saying, you know, it just didn't fit in New Japan with all the Maria stuff. But it wasn't even that. This match wouldn't have worked anywhere. It was just the whole story with, you know, Carl Anderson being so smitten that
he's never seen a woman before.
Yeah, right, exactly. And he can't even concentrate. It was, you know, it was bad WWE style comedy, and you know, and that made me a bit of an insult. It didn't work on any level, whether it was in New Japan or ROH or wherever. Not a whole lot redeeming about it. I didn't like the story. I didn't think they executed it well. I like Michael Bennett. Matt Taven's a bit hit or miss for me. And they were fine here, but just what they were going for, it didn't work, and it wouldn't have worked anywhere. It was you know, sophomore comedy and, you know, kind of like a bad sitcom bit.
Yeah, and then the title changed on this too. That shocks me. I mean, you know what? I like Michael Bennett too. I'm going to be interested to see how these guys run with the belts. If every match revolves around Maria, then yeah, it's going to be garbage, more garbage.
Well, you better get used to it because they're positioning her definitely as the big star of the team here in New Japan.
Ugh. All right, so Pete, anything else to add to this match? I know you weren't very enamored with it.
Yeah, Paul hit it right on the head. I mean, it was bad anywhere, and I compared it to, this was like Sonny and the Godwins back in the day. How just so, and yeah, it's out of place in New Japan. It's out of place anywhere because the work wasn't even in up to snuff. It made no sense. Had no structure. Even if it didn't have structure, it made no sense. It was just a train wreck, and by far the worst match on this show.
Yeah, this
it might have been one of the worst. Well, it might have been one of the worst Big Japan, New Japan matches we've seen on Big Show. Period. I can't even recall another one off the top of my head. I mean, I'm sure there's others, but
right. Okay.
Basically, you should have just sell Bennett with a hot tag and let Gallows and Anderson get heat on him, and had Maria do a spot or two. I know they're enamored with her ass. I mean, they even give her the Okada Rainmaker Zoom shot on her ass, which I was like, oh my god.
That camera work was kind of questionable. But all right, so yeah. This was complete garbage. Like I said, hopefully at least. Even if Maria's involved, that doesn't really bother me. I just want to see them have a better match. And maybe if they get out of the shadows of Gallows and Anderson, they can have a better match against another team. But let's move on.
On the next show, well, they're paired together in a non-title. On the next big show, they're paired together in a non-title match.
It's six-man intergender tag, I think, right?
Oh,
with Maria and someone else.
Oh, yeah, man. Okay, well, there goes that.
It's probably a short-term thing. Maybe they're just going to do a title change during the ROH New Japan shows or something like that, but I don't know, even then.
Yeah, this was bad. So let's go on to the next match, which was Nakamura, Ishii, and Yoshihashi versus Goto, Naito, and Makabe. And I'm going to start this one off. This was my match of the night. I love this match. What you had was you basically had three guys on each team playing a role. You had Nakamura and Goto playing the ringleader of the team, kind of the boss of their gang. You had the enforcer or the tough guy with Ishii and Makabe. And then you had the little runt you know, the little chihuahua who has a loud bark. And that was Yoshihashi and Naito, where, you know, these are the guys that, unless they're paired up with each other, man, they're going to get murdered by the other guys. And early on, they square off. But, man, I thought that when stuff broke down, they brawled, and they always found the guy they were paired off with. Outside, I know Ishii used Makabe's chain against him, so that was a nice way to continue that. Naito was the whipping post for Team Chaos for a good portion of the match. And there were so many spots here that we'll talk more about. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. But I thought it was a super well-constructed match. I thought that it furthered each individual feud while also allowing for them to do multiple matchups. So if they want to do Nakamura and Ishii versus Goto and Naito, I'm good with that. If they want to do Nakamura and Yoshihashi versus Goto and Makabe, I'm good with that. Like, I wouldn't mind any combination of these six guys going further in, like, tag matches or, like, you know, or the individual pairings. What did you think, Paul?
Yeah, I agree. I thought this was an awesome match. Like you said, they got across, two or three different storylines all at once. I thought Nakamura looked really good. His taunting of Gato was awesome. Like you said, everyone had their role and everyone played it right. It's just one of those great Japanese six men that you can just stick on a show, further feuds, get you excited to see other shows. And
I'll be honest with you, man. I was not excited about this match coming in.
Yeah, because it doesn't stick out because it just looks like a throwaway match. And then they all hit their stories right, and the work was solid. And I agree with you. It didn't stick out to me, but you know, it's one of those matches that in the end you come out more excited to see singles matches, and that's exactly what it was supposed to do. So
yeah.
It was super successful there.
No, I agree. And then, Pete, I want to give people a little bit of background. I know you had originally rated this match 3 stars, and then, you know, you had a bunch of matches rated above it. And I was like, this dude is fucking nuts. How can he have this match rated at 3 stars with, you know, other matches at 4 and above? And I was like, man, you were criminally underrating this match. And so you watched it again. So on rewatch, what did you think of this match?
I liked it a lot more, and I gave it 4 stars. That previous match really took me out, and I was also in the middle of fucking around with something, and I really wasn't giving it the attention it deserved. And it was great. I mean, and part of me also is because I watched all the New Japan house shows, and there were a lot of these guys just take it easy. 6 man's an 8 man, so I was kind of maybe expecting that. So my I just wasn't paying enough attention, but man, yeah, it was fantastic, and it sets up so much stuff, and it was I felt they worked it at a stiffer level than anything else on the show, how stiff it was, where
easily.
Yeah, it was very just super snug, and like you really got it that Nakamura and Goto were just beating the crap out of each other, and Ishii and Makabe were just beating the crap out of each other. Then you had, you know, the other two guys just running around, hey, let's do a little flash in the pan move.
Well, but they were there to get laid out by the bigger guys, because each time a bigger guy was in there, they get laid out.
And worked as a dichotomy because of how stiff these guys are working. Their little high flying even stood out a little bit more than might not have done because of how it's really super strong. I ended up giving it 4 stars. I thought it was the second best match of the night. And I blame it on that shitty ass Bullet Club fiasco beforehand of just taking, I mean, I just was just in awe how bad that thing was. And it really shows you what most of the time I'm able to stop and go on, but this one wasn't. But man, it's so great. I'm really looking forward to Nakamura and Goto next month. Makabe and Ishii, they're holding off.
Okay.
I'm just really, I think they're going to have a great singles match. And I thought this is, when wins and losses mean something in your promotion, you can do matches like this. And then you can build off a splinter off feuds off of a six-man if you make wins and losses mean something.
No, like I said, they could match up any of these six guys and any pairing they like, and I'd be happy to watch it because of this six-man. And so, guys, right now we're going to take a break, and then when we get back, we're going to talk about the last three matches on the show. And after that, we'll talk about our favorite match or the worst match and how we rate the card. You're listening to The Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on The Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation is Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including The Main Event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net's Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather, Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Senior, often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team Podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Reich for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN's also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of a 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber.
The Pro
lover.
Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brainbuster with
Johnny Sorrow.
A host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And, of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
where the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW Supercards.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. It's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
Okay, welcome back to the Place to Be Nation. This is Will, and I'm joined with Pete from the Titans of Wrestling. And our new friend Paul from CrossArmBreaker.com, and we're reviewing the New Japan Invasion show from the New Japan World Network. And guys, we've already talked about the undercard, and now we're going to talk about the last three matches. And our next match after that awesome six-man tag is a match between Tanahashi and Shibata versus Sakuraba and Yano. First thing I want to ask is, what the fuck is Sakuraba wearing? Holy shit! It's like a bicyclist shirt, skin tight with orange. It's like a blue bicyclist shirt with orange baggy shorts. I don't know. This is not an MMA gear I've ever seen before. So
I think he's trying to cut weight.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
And anyway, Paul, talk to me about this match, man.
I thought it was fun. I'm a huge Sakuraba fan. My brother's probably like the biggest Sakuraba fan in the world, so he's kind of instilled that on me. So anything he does, I kind of eat up. I thought it looked good here, going against Shibata. Looks like they're building towards a singles match there. I like the Yano Tanahashi stuff too. Yano just, you know, being the world's biggest troll and always running away from Tanahashi. Wrestling, you know, doesn't have enough guys getting chased around the ring these days. And I love how, you know, he just refused to be in the ring with them and all the running around and the avoiding. Real good stuff. And I like the contrast with the more serious Shibata Sakuraba stuff.
Hold on, Paul. You still haven't defended his outfit.
There's no defending of that, but. I don't know. He's wearing that a lot. Like we saw him on a grappling tournament, I guess, late last year. And he's wearing the exact same thing. He looked completely goofy with all these other guys in there. You know, their normal, you know, gear that you expect to see at some sort of grappling or MMA tournament. And then he comes out and it's like, you know, surfer outfit or whatever it is. But you know, even beyond that, he just, you know, I don't know. He's got Sakuraba is more pro wrestling than a lot of pro wrestlers, and there's just something about it that, you know. Yeah, you know, for me, it's just so much fun to watch. I thought he was good here. I was, you know, real surprised at the finish, but nice to see him tapping out Shibata. And you know, I guess we'll get a singles match at some point down the line. They haven't announced anything yet, but well, I got high hopes for that.
Hold on, Paul. I'm going to challenge you on something because I hated this finish. Okay. Because you have Sakuraba giving Shibata a sleeper hold, right? And then Tanahashi is bashing away on Sakuraba, you know, which normally means, hey, break your hold. Why don't you approach the guy who's attacking you from behind? And he just refuses to break it. And then Tanahashi gets torn away. And then all of a sudden he just kind of casually, he hits the ropes. So he had to break it. But it just made no sense to me. And then he wouldn't let Shibata have any comeback spots, and then he locks in the armbar, or not the armbar, but the, what's that move? The little arm thing?
Kimura.
Yeah, the Kimura. There you go. I had a brain fart, man. I'm old. What can you say? But, so he locks in the Kimura, and then he gets the tap. I don't know, man. I just did not like the way this thing ended.
I think the Tanahashi part, I think, is totally valid. Yeah, I mean, that was a really weird spot where he just no-sold it, and I probably just gave him a pass because I like Sakuraba, but
right, because he's like Iron Man, right? He's just against the weak Tanahashi.
Sure, yeah, when you beat all the Gracies, you can do that kind of stuff. but yeah, I think it's valid. But I think I more liked it because I, you know, didn't see it coming, and I do have, you know, some hopes for the singles match. You know, I think it was a decent way to get there, but I think it's valid.
Yeah, and let me ask you, Pete. Is Tanahashi injured? Is that why his star has fallen? And he's doing like meaningless tags? I mean, like, this feels so below his position here.
Yeah, I think he's, I don't know if he's injured per se, but I think they need to give him a resting up period. And that's what I think they're doing right now. And I think they want to try to elevate other guys so he's not overshadowing the main event. So I think that it's twofold.
Okay, what did you think of this match?
I it was okay. I enjoyed Shibata and Sakuraba. The finish, I understood it because they needed to give Sakuraba the win if they're going to put Shibata and Sakuraba together, since Sakuraba is so down on the card. And I thought Yano and Tanahashi did a great Wile E. Coyote and
yeah, well, you know, for me, I didn't mind that Sakuraba won. To me, the problem is that it was in such convincing fashion. Why would I believe that Shibata has any luck or any shot in hell, any chance of winning a singles match?
Right, and I can see that, like, in isolation, but I think, like Pete was saying, is that, yeah, Sakuraba's so far down the car, they probably felt they needed to, you know, they needed to do such a big convincing win in order to get him there, but... But yeah, I mean that's true. It doesn't. We'll see where they, you know, they still have a couple months.
Announced
it yet? So maybe they'll do it in July. So they have time to get, you know, to get there in a more convincing way. But
okay, Well, I needed you two to help make sense of this, because to me it was, you know, besides that horrible tag match, to me this was one of the more questionable booking calls, you know, for me, you know, in this on this show. All right, so now we're going to get into the co-main event, and this is where Pete and I are going to argue. So Paul, you can be tiebreaker. I don't care what your opinion is on the match. You're not going to sway me. Sorry, Paul. But Bad Luck Fale versus Okada. And I know these guys have had like a little feud going on ever since the Tokyo Dome show ended. Pete, make your case why this is a great match.
I Okada versus Fale. I'm not a big Fale guy. So I was really happy with what I saw, which was Okada just was pretty much working underneath most of the time, and Fale on top, and Okada would just get all these different hope spots, and he'd just roll it off, and his offense just came across as really high end stuff. Like I love that shoulder block spot. And I'm digging that these guys are coming across that they want to hurt each other, and this is like the final battle, and all the big impact. They're not just working holes, but they're busting out big impact stuff. Now the nerve hold threw me off a little bit, where he kind of took down the match a little bit, but Okada's selling underneath it was, and he sells it big, so it kind of got a pass for me. And then we get, then he does that again, and okay. But the awesome comeback attempts by Okada actually has like a Southern style baby face here. He's coming across like that, where he's just never giving up.
What series did you compare this to?
Sting Vader.
Okay. Just as a comparison of where Pete and I diverge, I compared it to Rocky Maivia versus the Sultan at WrestleMania 13. Okay. Anyway. All right. So, Pete, what did you give this match star rating wise?
I gave it 3 3/4, and I really really loved it. And I dug how every time Okada got momentum, Fale stopped him in his tracks, and the match just far exceeded my expectations, because I've panned this series so far.
Okay,
but this match I thought really hit a lot of things I enjoy in my wrestling for me.
All right, I'm glad you like bad wrestlers. Now, Paul, what'd you think, bud?
Sorry, Will. I'm with Pete on this one. I liked it a ton. Same thing. I'm not a huge Fale fan, but I kind of like the ways he's protected in New Japan. His finisher is like one of the most protected finishers, I think, in wrestling right now. Like, no one ever kicks out of it. He's one of those perfect guys, almost like a gatekeeper type role, where they can put him up against a guy like Okada. He had a series with Nakamura last year. He's pinned Tanahashi in the past year. You can do all that stuff, and it's credible, but then you can beat him because, you know, he's really not going anywhere, so he doesn't lose anything. I think he fits really well into that role. As far as the match win, yeah, I agree with most of what Pete said. I thought it came across as, like, a big match. I thought Okada showed a lot of fire. I really liked the two drop kick spots, the one to the back, and then the normal one. Fale's offense is, you know, a little hit or miss, but I thought it was, you know, more hit in this match. It just came across like it was a really solid semi-main event. Didn't overshadow the main event, but felt like a big deal on its own. It got a lot of heat.
Towards the end.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it was pretty quiet early on.
I agree, yeah. With the nerve hold and stuff, yeah, they didn't have the crowd into it, but I thought they built nicely, and yeah, by the end, had as much heat as anything else. Wasn't the best match on the show, but I liked it quite a bit.
All right, enough cocksucking of this match.
Hold on.
You've had your turn. It's my turn. Blah, blah, blah.
I want to touch on the heat aspect. I think part of it was that the crowd was pretty shocked that Shibata submitted to Sakuraba. I think that had something.
That's what it was. Yeah. No, what it was Fale. Like we mentioned in that six man, how stiff it was. I see this big fat dude who looks like a mini headhunter. And I thought, okay, this guy's going to beat some ass. Dude, his offense was so freaking weak. It was so lazy. I mean, dude, what in the hell do you think came across as Vader-like on this? even on his big splash that he did off the turnbuckle. It took him, like, what, I don't know, 90 seconds to climb that fucking thing and then get off of it? It was just,
By Vader, like, I mean the dynamic is what I'm more referring to. I'm not talking, I didn't say...
Not an execution, right? Because Vader never had weak sauce strikes the way Fale does. And
I would never compare Fale as a worker to Vader.
Yeah, okay. That's what it came across like. Let me finish. I already let you talk. Let me finish. So then we have this horrible offense, and nothing's going to get me out of a match quicker than an Nerf hold. He doesn't even have the excuse of having razor-sharp fingernails where he can draw blood on the shoulder. Okay, like who was that Pete in Texas who did that? The Beast? The Swahili Beast or something?
Yeah.
You know, and so...
But he is Samoan.
Yeah.
So it was just painful for me to watch because I have no vested interest in this match. You know, I like Okada. I like the Okada-Tanahashi series. I've liked most of the matches I've seen from him. Fale, I don't think I've ever paid attention to any of his singles matches. Those have always been matches where when they come up on a card, I always skip those matches. So when I hear, hey, this is a really great match, I'm really excited. So then I see this guy, and his offense is so lame and weak. I'm thinking, how can people like this? If there was a story there, okay, and these guys have been feuding, I respect that. But for somebody who has no vested interest in this feud, you're not going to enjoy this match. If you have a vested interest in Okada overcoming the big, scary, miniature headhunter, okay, cool. Actually, you know what? He looks like a really out-of-shape, overweight Savio Vega. So, like, a combination between a miniature headhunter or a really poorly shaped Savio Vega. It's kind of like if they were breeding.
I compared him to Killer Kyle, but I can see Vega.
Yeah. So anyway,
this gear doesn't do him any favors either. I'm talking about bad gear. Just that, you know, that tank.
Oh, top. Yeah. Just garbage, man. And so, you know, it's cool if you guys like it. I mean, like I said, if some people enjoy bad aspects of wrestling, I can't change their minds. But I'm telling you, if you can't
change your mind and make you wear your glasses so you can see the story that's being told.
Hey, all I know is that the match I thought was match of the night, you rewatched and you changed your mind, and
right. That's
all I'm going to say. You know, you actually. Could not get past, you know, you're the one who had to change your mind. I don't have to change my mind.
Let's spin it into this, like, alakazam, walakazoom. What was this? Are you trying to do a hide the rock on me here? I'm trying to do a little classic misdirect here, Will.
No, there's no misdirect. I'm telling people, watch this match.
It seems like you're...
You'll never get the 15 minutes back again.
People, please watch it. Make your own decision. Because we all know Will has made plenty of wrong decisions in the past.
I have made wrong decisions.
Yeah. Made wrong choices on matches that he's claimed good. And so we'll see.
Usually not on wrestling matches. But
on this show, we're 2-1 against Will. So on this panel, it's two thumbs up to one. So.
Hold on. I bet there are more people out there that will say Bruiser Brody's a great wrestler than will say that he's a bad wrestler. I would rather be in the minority on that one. Okay. I bet there are more people out there that think that Jerry Lawler is a bad wrestler as opposed to a great wrestler. I'd rather be in the minority on that one. There's certain things I'm right about, and I'm perfectly fine being in the minority in those situations. To me, being in the majority doesn't mean anything. It means I don't follow a leader. Okay? I don't try and please Meltzer by agreeing with everything he says and giving the same ratings. I'm going to give my own opinions regardless of popular opinion. If popular opinion existed, slavery would have never ended in the 1850s. Okay? Or 1860s, excuse me. All right. So...
What do you think about Okada's offense?
It was okay, but I mean, it's like you know, it's like a guy attacking a big piece of jello, you know? I mean, how good is that offense going to look against a big piece of jello? In fact, I would have preferred to watch Okada versus a big tub of jello. I would have gotten more entertainment out of that than watching this Fale match. You know? I mean, and then, like I said, comparing offense after you see, like, you know, Sakuraba and Shibata, you know, pulling out the shoot style, and then seeing the stiffness of the six-man, you know, it really stands out how not stiff this match was, or how...
Right, and that should be the only factor you're judging in. I mean, I thought about the story of the match.
I wasn't invested in the story beforehand, because the execution was so poor. Dude, there are a lot of matches that tell great stories with shitty execution, or, you know, where you can't believe the execution. If you can't buy into it, there are lots of great stories out there that are executed poorly. You know,
that's right. I mean, that's fine. I mean, again, it's fine. You're obviously, you didn't buy into the story. I did. Paul did. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, it all depends on whoever
Meltzer
else.
Meltzer, Acolytes, I'm with you. You know.
I mean, hey, I mean, since we haven't seen Meltzer's ratings, it's hard to
it's
say
true.
That we
that's
wrote
true.
The right ones.
I did hear. I did hear him review the show though. So.
I haven't. So
yeah, he was creaming all over this match like you two were. But having said all that, let's go to the main event: AJ Styles versus my main man Kota Ibushi. And Ibushi, you know, he's kind of now he's raising a level, right? He had the big match with Nakamura at the Tokyo Dome January show. And then he won the little mini tournament, right, to get the title
shot. New Japan
Cup. What was it called?
New Japan Cup.
The New Japan Cup. That was hard to remember. And so now here he is against AJ Styles. And, Paul, what were your thoughts on this match, bud?
I liked it. I didn't love it, but I think Pete said this. Yeah, you can make a strong case that both of these guys are front runners for Wrestler of the Year right now. I mean, Ibushi's transformation has been, you know, I don't know. I remember watching him as a, you know, real spotty, you know, junior, just, you know, a lot of bad tendencies to just, you know, just go overboard, just throw a lot of shit out. And now all of a sudden he's this guy that, you know, has this great heavyweight offense, really, really, really good striker. You know, he still has the exciting spots, but he's got a lot better idea to work him, how to work him in. And Styles is in such a groove right now. Like I thought this was really his match. He kind of, I don't want to say he led Ibushi through, but he kind of controlled the tempo. It was a slow build, but never boring. Like I said, they worked Ibushi's big spots in nicely. I thought the leg work was a good way to, you know, to get through the body of the match. Ibushi probably, I didn't really have a big issue with Ibushi selling of it. I know some people did, but it didn't strike me as that kind of leg work where, you know, his leg was supposed to be dead. It was just kind of, I don't know, it was just kind of perfunctory.
I'm gonna argue with you a little bit on that, in the sense that initially you're right, but when Styles went back to the leg, I thought that they were building it through the match. You know what I mean?
That's where, right. I can see that. That's a good point.
To me, that's kind of where I nail Ibushi, like where you have to kind of get away from those tendencies. You know, to me, that's what separates the elite workers from the really good ones. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's why I have no problem saying Ibushi's a good wrestler that I enjoy watching. But to me, things like that, because he could have really made this special. Because right after Styles had done the legwork, you know, Ibushi does that super Rana, you know, where he leaps to the top rope and then he leaps on Styles' shoulders to hit that to hit the Rana from
super
the top.
Super Frankensteiner.
Yes, it was Super Frankensteiner, whatever you want to call it. I call it a Hurricane Rana. You call it a Frankensteiner. I respect my
Super Frankensteiner. Okay, Super Hurricane Rana.
Yeah, I respect my fellow citizens to the south of the border. I'm going to call it a Rana. Anyway, but the point is, like, after all that leg work had that time had been invested in the leg, I think it would have been better if he leaps up and then crumples over in pain from the leg. You know, he doesn't get the big pop from the spot, but I think it would have added an extra depth to the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. Ideally, I think that would have made it another level. I guess I'm just at the point where like so few guys do that, you know, I hold it against them in the sense that, yeah, it could have been a better match, and that I agree with you 100%, and that's what separates the, you know, the good guys, the really good guys from the all-time greats. But it wasn't a killer for me or anything, because it's, you know, it kind of is what it is.
Right. It didn't kill me like, say, a guy has a bandaged head and then tears off the bandage to go after a cut and then decides to ignore the cut the rest of the match. Yeah, it wasn't a killer in that way. Right. But like I said, it's one of the things that prevented me from saying this was a great match. I'm like you. I thought it was a really good match, fun match, not my match of the night or anything. But it's like one of those few flaws. Now, Pete, we're going to go to you, and I'm going to bounce back between you and Paul because this is the main event. You said that you would call AJ Styles the Flair, Bach, and Brett of this time period. Explain that stance, because there's no fucking way.
I've heard you. Okay, as a level worker, he's not those guys, but in the time frame he's in, as he's going from IW Japan, he's having great matches. Then he'll be doing a match on Ring of Honor television with ACH.
So you're talking about his tour schedule, not his worker ability.
Yeah, and but he's also engaging. Like, he's different, as in he actually works the crowd and isn't just relying. He's relying a lot more on grappling, and he has an aura of a world champion, where he feels important.
Okay, I thought you were saying he was on that level. I said he's probably got a few more years before I consider him on that level. But okay, I can dig into a little bit more. Paul, let me ask you, would you say that's fair to compare him to Flair, Bach, and Brett and those guys at this point?
Well, I mean, in that sense, yeah, being like, you do watch his matches from like all over the world, and he does adjust really well these days to his environment. Like, you can watch him work in, you know, a guy a few levels below him in the UK, and then, you know, watch him work ACH or whoever in ROH, and watch him work. Watch Ibushi, the main event of the New Japan match, and he really does do a nice job of, you know, adapting to whatever environment, whatever role he's in. I'm not sure he's at, like, quite at, yeah, that Flair level of that, or even...
Yeah, man, because Flair was doing it in seats with 10, 15,000 people all over the world, not like 800 people. Although Bret Hart as champion probably drew 800 people crowds throughout his run. Didn't have a very hot run, but yeah.
Arguments more he's a modern day.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, and in that sense I respect it. But yeah, to me, now let's talk Ibushi here. I already outlined one thing that he could do that could really change my perception of him in terms of selling. Pete, do you think that he's already up at that level of like main event tier guys, like because of this match? Because of the Super J Cup, because of the match with Nakamura, which was awesome, but to me that was like the Nakamura show, you know. So I mean, do you really see him at that level?
He's the guy getting credit for drawing the crowd here. So I'm gonna say yes. If that's the case, he was the guy who drew this crowd of 9,500.
No, I'm not talking about the drawing. I'm talking about the in-ring worker, Ibushi.
I like his offense. I like his facials. I thought he needed to sell that limb work a little better. But man, he's having a great year in-ring. So I can view him as a top guy. He, again, I stated it. I think him and Styles are the two best wrestlers on the planet right now.
Oh,
having
man.
Having the best year.
After that sixth man, Nakamura is still, to me, the damage is all in positioning, not in actual work. To me, Nakamura is still the guy to knock off that throne. What about you, Paul? Where are you at?
Ibushi's up there, but I'm with, like, it depends how you're looking at it. Like, in terms of output this year, I think Ibushi's had more, you know, good big matches, but that has to do more, like you said, with his positioning. But I would agree. I'm a Nakamura fan, and I think I think Ibushi's still got a little ways to go before he's at that level. But there's no denying that his match quality this year has been up there with anyone. Like, he's got the Nakamura match. He's got a couple really good DDT matches. This match was, you know, good. He's definitely still.
That match with Hanma was real good.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, Hanma. Another guy, you know. Oh, let's shift gears here. First off, Pete, what'd you rate this match?
4 stars.
4 stars. Okay. And did you like this one better than the six man?
After rewatching it, no.
Okay. So what match did you have above this and the six man? You said six man was your second favorite match.
I loved Omega Dorada.
Oh, wow. Okay, I wouldn't have even thought that. What was your match of the show there, Paul?
It was the six-man, probably them followed closely by the junior tag, and then Okada Fale were pretty close together. But, yeah, the six-man was the best match of the show.
Yeah, see, I'm with you on that, but, man, I feel like I have to change it just so that we're not in the majority and that, like, you know, because I would hate to be in the majority of anything but of popular opinion. But having said that, where do you see them going from here? Because to me, this show was really a good show when it did not excite me going in. In a way, I almost watched it just because I know Pete was itching to do the reaction show. I mean, you know, not, that's not a knock, Pete. I'm saying I know that, like, you wanted to do a reaction show to this show. It was their, like, next big show, you know? And to me, I looked at the card, and I was like, man, my man Nakamura's not being featured. Okada's in there with a piece of dog shit. And, you know, to me going in, you know, like I said, I'm not really a huge Young Bucks fan or anything else. So in my mind, I'm thinking, man, I hope that main event delivers, you know. And then that six-man comes out of nowhere to really give me a boost. But where do you think they're going from here? And what would you change, if anything, Paul? And then, Pete, you answer the same thing after Paul's done.
Yeah, well, I agree with what you said about that. That's about how, you know, not excited going into the show, and then it kind of, you know, I don't know if it turned out great, but it, you know, it was better than expected. That's, I kind of got that feeling from New Japan a lot these days. Like, there's a staleness or a sameness feeling to it, but then you actually watch the shows, and you're like, okay, you know, it feels like the same old thing, and then all of a sudden they pull out a match or they pull out a card, and it's like, okay, the match quality is good enough, and they're always kind of moving forward enough. For where they go from here, I guess Okada's got a title match in July against Styles now. I got to think he wins that because he's lost to Styles a couple times. I just don't see the point in running that if he's just going to lose.
Yeah, and I'm excited for that as a challenger versus champion title match, man. I'm really excited to see how that goes. What else, man? What about Nakamura, man? Do you just think he's in this Goto singles match? And then, I mean, it just feels like he had... Didn't he win the G1 last year, or am I getting him confused with somebody?
Runner-up in the G1.
Who?
He was a runner-up in the G1 to Okada.
Okay, oh, that's right. He was in the final match, right?
Yeah,
okay. Like, it just felt like he had such momentum. And then after the Ibushi match on the Dome show, I was like, man, this is the year of Nakamura, you know? And it still can be. It's still early in the year, but, man, come on, people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with New Japan booking now. These guys tread water for a little while, and then all of a sudden they, you know, they'll flick the switch, and they'll, you know, a few months from now, Nakamura could be getting a huge push. But, yeah, it's hard to tell where they're going with it now. I can see him retaining the title and just, you know, continuing in this sort of, you know, placeholder position, or I could see him losing it, and maybe that'll be an impetus, you know, to him doing something like winning the G1 or, you know, really, you know, getting the rocket strapped to him, but we'll see.
What about you,
Pete? Like, New Japan has 4 or 5 guys they can headline shows with, which is a nice problem to have.
But Pete, where do you see them going? Are you looking forward to what's coming up? And
the next show on paper doesn't look all that promising. It looks worse than this show. So we'll see. The one thing is, man, their talent. I mean, it's samey. The talent's the same, but they're all a lot of it from like top to like through 10. They're really good, and they can all have.
I don't know.
Good match.
I just want to see Nakamura run through everybody.
So we'll see.
I want to see Nakamura run through everybody. I want to see him get the big entrance where it's full blown Michael Jackson tribute. You know,
yeah.
I want to see this guy run with it and until his legs falls off. You know, I mean, I know that they're trying to build up the Bullet Club thing with the Styles on top. I know that they're giving Tanahashi a break or whatever they're doing with him. Shibata's my man. I know you're a Sakuraba guy, but like, I love Shibata and I loved him and Goto together. So I'm kind of bummed that he's not like featured more. Hanma, we've talked about. Like, I want to see Hanma, Nakamura, and Shibata and those guys all up at the top beating the shit out of each other. And maybe that's just wishful thinking as a, like a New Japan, New Japan fan. I know it is, but would y'all object to that?
No, not at all.
You know, that's what I'm saying, man. I mean, even if it's Okada and Tanahashi up there in the mix, because those guys are big-time players, I don't mind them being up there. AJ Styles, I don't mind being in the mix. Ibushi, I don't mind being in the mix. But to me, it should all run through Nakamura. He should be their ace. He should be the guy this runs through. I don't know. Maybe I don't know enough about his drawing power or his limitations.
No, he's draws. I don't get it either. He's I think he's the best wrestler. He was my wrestler of the year last year, and I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I know, like, right now, for me, and I know he's only wrestled a couple of matches, but to me, Brock Lesnar's lighting it up, man. Like, he's the one guy I know stateside that anytime the match says Brock Lesnar now, from here on forward, I'm not missing that match. You know, I'm working my schedule around that Brock Lesnar match. And Nakamura is the guy where if they had him in a more prominent position, I'd feel the same way about him in a singles capacity in Japan.
They both have that aura about him where it's, you know, they feel like big stars.
Yeah, man. It's almost criminal that Nakamura just isn't like wearing all of the belts. You know, I want to see him beat everybody.
Give the
man.
Ultimate Dragon treatment.
Yeah, man. I mean, he can be a tag team unto himself. You know, he'd probably have better matches than Gallows and Anderson. That's for damn sure. Anyway, so Pete, overall, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Where you at?
Easy thumbs up.
Yeah. What about you, Paul?
Yeah, same. Definitely thumbs up. Not the best show they've had, but. You know, solidly thumbs up.
And we're all in agreement, right? That the worst match was the tag title change, right?
And no doubt.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Just curious, who would be your MVP of the show?
It's a tough one. I could probably go with Nakamura, just because, like, you wasn't expecting much in that six man, and I thought the opening when him and Gato worked together. Just, you know, really set the tone for that match. And that was, since it ended up being my favorite match on the card, I think it kind of, you know, it kind of turned around the whole show, but it took a, you know, middle of the line show into something much better. Something like Nakamura.
Pete, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Fale was your guy.
No, it's actually Okada, but a lot based on the closing angle where he lays out Styles with the Rainmaker. Set up the match. I thought that was a great angle.
Yeah, I like the finish of that too. That's, you know, it's kind of a way, like I said, we've already seen Styles Okada before, but this kind of gives it a little bit of extra juice. I'm with Paul with Nakamura. I kind of want to give an honorable mention to Dorada because I really was expecting Zero coming out of that Omega match. I didn't think it was better than the six man, but you know, it was way better than I expected. But let's talk about things we all have going on. Pete, what's going on with the Titans?
Well, we have nothing on our list again.
Nothing.
We've just kind of been coasting.
Are there any other big shows we can do reaction shows before Extreme Rules this month, or is that it? Is there an NXT special or something we can do a show for, Pete?
Nope.
Nothing, huh?
Well, that's a bummer.
Nothing. I mean, there's this one. There's another Japan show next month. That's May, though. So
yeah, no. That's May. And then, Paul, you haven't been on here with us before.
Well, here's something we could do, Will.
God damn it, dude.
Show.
I was already going to talk to Paul, man. Well, okay, tell us, Pete. Come on.
We could look at the ROH TV that we went to and compare it to live versus what they showed on television.
When does the taping start for those shows?
Oh, probably I think in 2 weeks.
Oh well, shit, the month's over by then. But no, yeah. No, maybe, man. I don't know. I don't watch ROH TV, so.
Okay,
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can watch that Michael Elgin match again. That's for sure.
And our memories are probably shot by then. We are reaching that age.
Yeah, I know. But so let's talk to Paul now. I love reading your blog, Paul. Talk to us about Cross Arm Breaker, man.
Yeah, thanks. I got them. We do, in addition to just the blog and the posts there, I've been doing monthly match guides, which is like, I'll write about, I don't know, 10 to 15 matches I watched during the month that I thought, you know, that interested me, that I wanted to write something about, sort of semi-review style, but, you know, also a little bit, just, you know, whatever stray thoughts I have. So the March one should be out this weekend. You can download that off the website for free and, you know, a bunch of different mobile reading versions, PDF, iBooks, and all that good stuff. So yeah, that's a big thing coming up next, and I hope everyone takes a look at that.
No, you should go to www.crossarmbreaker.com, and man, you'll get lost in that site at first, man, because you only see the little blurbs on the actual webpage.
Right.
Once it says "click here to read more," man, you're going to be reading for a while, man. So. You could definitely get lost in that blog. So, man, if we can just get you 50 more people to click on that link of yours, man, I'd be happy. Because once those people click onto it, man, they're gonna stay. So, highest possible recommendation. Easy thumbs up for Cross Arm Breaker. And guys, I want to thank you for doing the show with me tonight. I'm really happy I watched show, Pete. So thanks, Pete, for forcing me to do the show with you. And Paul, thanks for coming in, man. I'm really glad you came in, helped us out when we had some audio issues earlier on. And
yeah, sorry on my end, guys. And I just found out what was causing it too.
What was it?
Fucking MediaFire was syncing on my computer at the time we were doing it. I think that was causing the breakup,
okay,
and stuff because it was syncing and catching up things, because right when I clicked it off, we haven't had any audio issues.
Zero issues since you clicked it off, so make sure you never make that mistake again.
Yep.
You're fired.
Blame Charles. I was trying to send him media.
Ah, okay. Blame him, bastard. Anyway, guys, I want to thank you all for doing the show. I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll be back at the end of the month when we do the reaction show for Extreme Rules. Bye-bye.